Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Dolphins in Depth podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. Quick reminder before we start, make sure to subscribe to the Miami Herald YouTube page, like, share, comment, as well as subscribe to the Miami Herald. Now, the Dolphins offseason workout program is slowly but surely coming to a close. However, it is not complete until the end of mandatory minicamp. And that kicked off Tuesday, the first of three practices that the Dolphins have scheduled for this week. Previously, these sessions were voluntary, organized team activities, but now they're mandatory. So the overwhelming majority of the Dolphins roster at the Baptist Health Training Complex in Miami Gardens for a set of practices. However, one major absence for the Dolphins, we're going to get into that, as well as give my thoughts, as well as me giving my thoughts on the offense and the defense. On the first of these mandatory practices, we had Jalen Ramsey, as well as Xavien Howard, the two star cornerbacks for the Miami Dolphins, speak about the defense and their expectations. We're going to get into all of that. However, like I said before, we got to start with what was really the major news, major development of the day at the Baptist Health Training Complex. Speaking to Mike McDaniel before practice, he was asked about the absence of two of his starters. Two starting players from the previous season, Zach Sealer, defensive tackle, as well as starting center Connor Williams. Neither player was at the voluntary sessions. The most notable absences from the voluntary sessions, McDaniel was asked before practice whether they would be in attendance for the mandatory session, and McDaniel answered saying that Zach Sealer would be. However, Connor Williams would not be at today's or Tuesday's practice. Asking more and prodding more about this this development, he said that Connor Williams' absence is not excused. However, he's been in communication with the 26-year-old lineman. Now, very interesting developments because, as we've mentioned in the Miami Herald before, previously mentioned, the two voluntary OTA practices that were open to media, we saw neither player. Notably, they're both entering the final year of their respective contracts, direct by prominent agent Drew Rosenhaus. So there was some kind of, maybe rumblings that this is contract related. Now, McDaniel himself did not say it was contract related. However, he was asked and kind of, you know, there was a question posed to him, kind of alluding to it maybe being related to business, to which McDaniel said, yeah, he understands that, you know, players may have various reasons for not attending. Again, he said it's not excused. However, he says that as coach of the team, tries to be empathetic, try to understand everyone's perspective. But he said it's not something he is worried about. I'll give you the full quote. He said, quote, "I try to understand every player's perspective. I think that's part of my job is to be empathetic, to best come to a solution. So there's a bunch of things that come up, a bunch of things that have come up this offseason, that have come up last offseason, that will come up next offseason. So that's always something that you're juggling and working with players to have your team perform at its highest ability." Now, again, the absence of Connor Williams is one that, again, was a bit of a surprise. We know that Zach Sealer is seeking a new contract after he has seemingly outperformed the 3-year extension that he signed a couple of years back. Sealer obviously, you know, grew into a prominent role last season after the injury to Emmanuel Agba, but he was in attendance at today's session, although he wasn't participating in team drills, seemingly ramping his way back into form as the Dolphins have been doing with a lot of the veterans. Connor Williams, on the other hand, is a very, very interesting situation because, again, he's entering the second and final year of a 2-year, $14 million deal that he signed last year. the early indication or thought when the Dolphins signed him last offseason was that he was going to play guard, because that was the position that he's played the majority of his career in Dallas. However, he pivoted to center, playing that for the first time in the NFL, and by all accounts had a very, very good year. PFF rated him the fourth highest or the fourth best center. He started all 18 games, including the playoff loss to the Bills. And he was one of two offensive linemen to start every single game this season, along with Robert Hunt. So you do have seemingly two differing or kind of two sides of opinion, kind of perspectives, with Connor Williams thinking, okay, I have outperformed my current deal. I would like to receive more money again. He's set to receive $6.5 million in base salary, but only $2 million is guaranteed. No roster bonus. So again, I mean, I believe it's the sixth highest, if I can bring up the correct numbers. It's the sixth highest annual average value for centers according to Over the Cap. So it's top 10 money. But again, he might have the perspective that he has outperformed that and he is due for a raise, especially and some more security as he's entering the final year of that deal. And then you have the Dolphins again, just outside speculation, but the Dolphins could have the perspective of, they believe that maybe he's at fair value. They have other priorities or higher priorities. We know that they've been in talks with defensive lineman Christian Wilkins himself. Him about a new contract, a contract extension. So the Dolphins have a lot of priorities, and again, limited cap space still. I mean, I won't say limited, but they just got $13 million from the Byron Jones release. They've used some of that to sign three of their four draft picks late last week, and they seemingly could keep some money for an impending move over the next couple of months. They're going to take some money into the season, so. And again, they have a lot of priorities, so then a lot of things to address. So there are, a lot of factors up in the air. I will be interested to see if he does end up maybe coming to Wednesday session or Thursday session, or if this is something that we have to wait until late July in training camp to see how it gets resolved. But again, Connor Williams, 26 years old. Excuse me, let me correct some previous numbers. I said eighth among centers, eighth. Average eighth highest average value for among centers according to Over the Cap. It's still top 10 money. But again, like I said, just 26 years old, still very young. He's going to play the entirety of the 2023 season at 26 years old. From my perspective, from my kind of vantage point, I almost think it would kind of behoove the Dolphins to after finding after all the struggles they've had finding, drafting, signing quality offensive linemen, finding one that's played so well, especially in a new position, it almost seems like a no-brainer to really commit to him and make sure that you lock him up. But again, just 1 year of playing center, maybe there's some reservations there. I don't know. But this is a situation where the Dolphins will have to find some common ground, or somebody will have to kind of relent on either side. Again, this is not the Dolphins' first rodeo when it comes to contract disputes and issues with the contract. Just this past year and the year before that, the Dolphins had some stuff come up with Xavien Howard wanting to be the highest paid cornerback on his team, be receive a raise. Again, in both cases, they were able to come to resolutions. Now, again, it's a little bit different because X was still had a couple years left on the deal, whereas Connor Williams is in the final year. So if Connor Williams, or excuse me, with X, the Dolphins were able to kind of move some money upwards and, move some stuff around and make money available, make raises available through incentives or not, excuse me, through incentive. This is a little bit tougher because it's the final year of the deal. But again, if I'm just looking on the outside, can they find some common ground, excuse me, for this year? Or can you get to a 2-3 year extension where you maybe guarantee more of the money up front, and kind of smooth things over, because for the Dolphins, the stability of the offensive line is paramount to their offensive success. Again, amid a whole bunch of injuries this past year, Connor Williams was one of the only stable options, stable players last year. Again, Teron Armstead, for as well as he played, was in and out of the lineup because of injuries. Robert Hunt, the only other guy besides Connor Williams to start every single game. And honestly, I have to say, Connor Williams, depending on how long he wants to take this, he might be in a position of power. Again, not attending mandatory mini camps and training camps. Those come with severe fines that have been agreed to in the collective bargaining agreement that completely, disincentivize and dissuade players from having, from having holdouts. So if he's willing to kind of put his money where his mouth is, so to speak, he might be in a position of leverage because the Dolphins right now don't have a clear backup plan to him. Again, they didn't really have to dive into that option last year because he was healthy and so good. But the only other, the only, it seems like his backup last year was Michael Dieter. He's gone. They signed Dan Feeney from the Jets this offseason. He has yet to participate in team drills. He's one of several veterans and kind of newcomers who have yet to participate in team drills as the team and the training staff is seemingly bringing them along slowly. Liam Eikenberg said last week that he's been taking snaps at center, but he's hoping that he plays left guard. And I don't think that that's, I mean, it's not his natural spot. So the Dolphins don't have a clear backup to Connor Williams, and they don't have anybody on the roster who has shown that they can play center as well as Connor Williams did last year. So again, it's still early. It's still something to watch out for. But it will be interesting to see how that plays out because again, Connor Williams, he being he is a very important part of the offensive line, and he's not the only one that's up for extensions. Obviously, Christian Wilkins. Is on the final year of his rookie deal, playing out the fifth year option. Zach Seeler, his agent, who also reps Connor Williams, has said that he's trying to push for a contract extension, as well as Robert Hunt, another offensive lineman who's entering the final year of his rookie deal. He's up for an extension, but he's been at team drills. Excuse me, he's been at mandatory minicamp himself, OTAs, and he said he's not worried about that. Everyone has different ways of handling these various disputes, but again, it's important that Connor Williams is locked in for the Dolphins, whether that's this year or down the line. So we'll definitely see how that progresses. Whether he's there Wednesday, if he's there, we'll definitely be tracking that here at the Miami Herald. If he's not, we'll be tracking it both ways. So again, just something to watch out for with Connor Williams not at mandatory minicamp on day one. All right, we're going to take a short break, but when we come back on the other side of things, we're going to head on the field, recapping the first day of mandatory minicamp, who was practicing, who was not, as well as who stood out on the first of three mandatory sessions. So stay locked with us, and we'll be back soon.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's going on, everybody? Still here on the Dolphins in Depth podcast, talking all things Dolphins. Now in the first half, gave my thoughts on the absence of Connor Williams, who was not at the first day of mandatory minicamp, was not at the two voluntary practices open to the media. Definitely will be watching out for that. But I want to switch gears and get on the field, where again, the Dolphins took the field for their first mandatory minicamp session. Only three other players absent from practice, Braylon Sanders, Cedric Oboihe, as well as Jerron Christian, but everyone else accounted for, maybe not participating in practice or in various aspects of practice, but the remainder of the roster, Dolphins roster, all together. And it was a interesting day. It was not maybe the a day full of fireworks, but still, we still had some developments that I want to break down. Going to start on the offensive side of the ball, where I think that we've had an interesting development with what I consider to be the most important offseason position battle, and that is the backup quarterback spot. Now, there might be a It might be more sexy, more appealing position battles. Again, we have the wide receiver three spot, where we've had a lot of guys come up and make big plays. Robbie Chosen, Braxton Berrios, Cedric Wilson, Eric is to come. I'm getting into that a little bit later. You have the offensive line, where we don't know, is there going to be competition at left guard? Is there going to be competition at right tackle? You have the cornerback spot, where you have a lot of guys vying for roster spots and playing time. You have safety. So again, a lot of guys on the talented roster competing for roster spots and playing time. But the backup quarterback spot to me is the most important position battle this offseason as we get closer and closer to training camp and starting the season, for the simple fact that there are fair injury questions about Tua. And he missed five games last year. That player is one play away from stepping into the starting spot and leading this offense and more or less leading this team. We know the Dolphins signed Mike White from the Jets in the offseason, and he was kind of viewed as the favorite to get that number two spot. But Mike McDaniel did say that he would compete with Skylar Thompson, entering his second year after he started a few games as a seventh round rookie. And I will say to date, after the two practices that I've seen, voluntary practices that I've seen, and the first mandatory mini camp practice that I've seen, I would say that Skylar Thompson, in my opinion, has taken the lead as the number two guy. Now, again, this is only off of a few practices that we've seen. There are a handful of practices that the media has not seen. So this is just based off the three practices that I've seen. But in those practice sessions, Skylar has stood out to me. Now, the thing about Skyler and Mike White, that's interesting to me is that they're kind of similar quarterbacks in the sense that neither has, I would say neither has a standout physical trait, in terms of like their arm talent. Like, they're not, it's not like they have strong arms, the strongest arms, around. They're not pinpoint accurate like Tua. Neither of them are gonna, kill you with their legs, although Skyler has shown in college and in the NFL the ability to move around and to pick up yards with his legs. So a lot of it comes down to just like executing the offense, excuse me, at a high level. Like that's what it comes down to. You don't have a rocket for an arm. You're not pinpoint accurate. You're not, dicing people up every play. So it just comes to having like executing the offense as it stands. And I think that that's important because, again, when you're a backup coming in there, we don't need you to play superhero. The team doesn't need you to put on a cape, carry them. We just need you to operate the offense as it is, like base level quarterback play. That's what you need. And somebody that doesn't make mistakes. So that's like two things that I'm looking out for. Like, are you executing the offense in front of you? And are you avoiding big mistakes, turnovers? Putting the ball in harm's way. I will say the first mandatory minicamp practice, Skyler had a lot of really good red zone work. Short, it was a lot of short red zone drills where they're at the 10-yard line, at the 5-yard line. It's a session that is kind of get lends itself to a lot of scoring and a lot of touchdowns because the offense is so close to the end zone. But I really liked what I saw from Skyler during those drills. He had multiple touchdown passes, hitting guys in the end zone in, really difficult parts of the field. He had a really nice back shoulder pass to River Craycraft in what I thought was the best throw of the day. He hit Robbie Chosen on a nice fade route in the corner of the end zone. He hit Tyler Crawford again in the corner of the end zone. I just feel like this, he's getting more confident. Like I see him entering the second year of this system. And there's a lot of talk about what year two of this system means for Tua. But Mike McDaniel mentioned it himself at the NFL scouting combine that Skyler was thrown into a position that, you know, he didn't expect himself to be in. And, you know, really the team didn't expect him to be in starting games because they had Tua as a starter and Teddy as the backup. Obviously, he was on the 53-man roster and he had to be prepared for anything. But it was kind of a tough spot for a rookie, you know, and especially a seventh-round rookie. So, again, Skyler did throw a pick in this session. I don't want to put too much on him because the intended receiver, Eric Azukama, did trip. Bryce Thompson, the undrafted cornerback, picked him off. But outside of that, I was really impressed with what he did in the red zone drill in terms of being like decisive, concise, and finding guys quickly. And again, I think that to date, he's outplayed Mike White for that number two spot. No, we still got a lot of time. And I think that the joint practices, the Dolphins are going to have a pair of those practices with the Falcons and then the Texans and then the preseason games, because I don't think Tua is going to play a ton. And I don't think he should play a ton in the preseason. I think that those joint practices and the preseason games are really going to go a long way to deciding who is the backup for Tua Tagovailoa. But to date, I think that Skyler has outplayed Mike White. Now, again, I know I mentioned the wide receivers before, and I'll say another guy who I think is starting to kind of separate from the pack, so to speak, is wide receiver Robbie Chosen. Now, the Dolphins have a lot of options in terms of the number three wide receiver behind Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. Tyreek Hill was at the mandatory practice, but not in team drills. Jaylen Waddle, very, very limited in the team drills. So again, this is, as I said before, this is an opportunity for those guys, Robbie Chosen, Braxton Berrios, Cedric Wilson, Eric Azukamba, River Craycraft, Braylon Sanders, who wasn't there today, but made some plays. This is a prime opportunity for them to not only get camaraderie with Tua, but overall just show that they're able to step up and make plays in this offense. Now, Robbie Chosen, we know him from his time with the New York Jets, the Carolina Panthers, and then briefly with the Arizona Cardinals, as a guy who has been one of the best deep threats in the NFL, you know, dating back to his time at Temple, somebody who can get past the defense, you know, make plays downfield. And he has shown the ability to do that. But I was really impressed by his route running and his work and kind of the short intermediate part of the field this past practice on Tuesday. Again, a lot of red zone work for him, and he was making plays all over the field. Again, a fade route, you know, just again working in the short part of the field. Don't want to say too much because I'm not allowed to say too much, but working with kind of short to intermediate routes. I was really impressed with that. And he's, you know, again, not only with Tua, but with Mike White, Scott Thompson, showing an ability to connect with his quarterback. So that's really good to see. And again, outside of backup quarterback, I think that this is going to be, you know, one of the fiercest position battles in training camp and one of the more important position battles in training camp, because, again, this offense was so reliant on Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle to produce. I think it's important to get somebody, a third target, who can, you know, make some plays after the departure of Trent Sherfield and Mike Gesicki. So, again, on offense, strong day from Skylar Thompson, strong day from Robbie Chosen, you know, making his claim in this case to be the number three wide receiver. Going to defense, again, a lot of vets limited or not participating at all. You know, the Dolphins' top cornerbacks, Jalen Ramsey, Xavier Howard, among those guys, Jalen Ramsey not participating in team drills yet. He said he's ramping his way up with the training staff. X, very, very limited in team drills. David Long, the new linebacker, not participating. Zach Sealer, not participating in team drills. And again, kind of similar to offense, this is a time and a opportunity for some lesser known guys to make cases for roster spots and playing time. And one guy that has been really, really making his case for a roster spot is undrafted rookie linebacker Mitchell Agudé. If you've been reading the Miami Herald's practice reports, he is a name that has popped up, you know, just kind of being a menace in the backfield. And again, on Tuesday, he was making plays. I had him down for multiple sacks and tackles for loss. And, you know, Jalen Phillips, who had a similar career path to him, starting at UCLA and then going to the University of Miami. And now with the Miami Dolphins, had a lot of high praise for him. So he, again, Mitchell Ogude standing out, making plays. Very, very interested to see if this carries over into training camp when we get to these joint sessions, because it's always tough with line play, trench play, to really discern what and what not is standing, or what is standing out and what is not really standing out, because it's not full live contact to the ground or whatnot. So it is tough sometimes, but he is a guy that has, you know, shown athleticism, ability to slip past linemen, get to the back foot and make plays. So good for him. And last, before we get out of here, now, while Ramsey and X didn't play, didn't really participate in team drills, they did talk after practice. They talked about where this defense is in terms of installing this new Vic Fangio scheme, and, you know, their expectations, their prospects for it. I know I wrote a story on that that you can check out on the Miami Herald website. But I'm just going to get into some of the comments from those two guys, especially from Ramsey, because I think he said a lot of really interesting things about this defense and what to expect. Now, for those that don't know, when he was with the Los Angeles Rams, he played under a very, very similar scheme under Brandon Staley, who's now the Chargers head coach, and then with Raheem Morris as defensive coordinator. And he said, no, obviously, you know, he knows the defense, but with Vic Fangio, he's kind of the godfather of the these two high safety schemes and zone coverage schemes that a lot of teams have picked up and kind of incorporated their own little wrinkles into it. So he said, first, I know this defense, so that's how it helps. I've been running the same defense for 3 years now, my past 3 years in LA. So now it's the same defense. It's just a little bit different terminology, but same type of stuff. There's different ways to play this defense. Vic has his own way of putting his own flavor in it, and I guess kind of catering it to certain people who will stand out in the defense and who can stand out in any defense, really. The last part of that really stood out to me, because I think that he is one of multiple guys who will be featured in this defense. I mentioned it in the story that I wrote. The first couple years of Jalen Ramsey's career, he's on the outside, like exclusively. He's a lockdown guy, traveling, following receivers. He goes to Los Angeles, and his role is shifted because teams are avoiding his side of the field because he's such a good cornerback. So what the Rams do is they put him as kind of a quote-unquote star role. He's a nickel cornerback close to the line of scrimmage, where he's able to impact the game, you know, in run defense. And they still move him around because a lot of the better wide receivers are playing in the slot. So if Jalen Ramsey can go to the slot, hey, you're getting lockdown potential, lockdown play, just not from the outside, from the slot. So he's one of many guys who I think could kind of stand out and be featured in this defense. He went on to talk about, you know, why this defense will be special, not only because of the things that Jalen Ramsey and, excuse me, himself and Xavier Howard can do as man-to-man guys or zone guys, but the versatility of the defense. And again, I spoke about that with him, but you have a guy in Kader Kohou who really excelled as an undrafted rookie last year as both an outside and an inside guy, slot and outside. You have a Javon Holland who can not only play free safety, but can blitz quarterbacks, can line up close to the line of scrimmage and cover tight ends. So he's another one of those guys, him and Kader, who I think can be featured in this defense because of their versatility. And everything about this defense is predicated on deception. So when you guys have guys who can play in different spots and can move around, that just makes it that much more tougher for the offense to operate. Along those lines, Mike McDaniel was asked about what the impact of Vic Fangio's scheme, and specifically a scheme that excels in zone coverage, can have on the opposing offense. And I thought that Mike McDaniel gave some really, really good insight into that. Let me find the quote. Again, first, he was asked about the impact of Vic Fangio, and he said, gave a very long answer because Mike McDaniel is tend to do that. But he said, quote, an unintended consequence. It's something that you know as a football coach, but it's not steadfast at the front forefront of your thought process when you're making decisions like that in terms of hiring a defensive coordinator. What defense do you want to run? Who do you want in charge of it? Your mind goes straight to, I want the best defense we can have. I want the defensive coordinator we can have. The best coordinator we can have. I think that has been accomplished. A subset unintended consequences that the techniques with which they perform their assignments really takes advantage of poor technique offensively, meeting the way they pattern match and the way they really play with vision. As a receiver, it's the best training you can get. As a tight end, it's the best training you can get. All these route runners are getting this elite training because they're getting made pay when their technique is off. If they're on vertical enough on their stem, traditionally from a coach's perspective, I have to say, yeah, this worked. However, in game situations, it probably won't. And that you're kind of selling to them, then you have to grab a game clip, whatever. It is so much more efficient and better for the offensive coaches when something that we emphasize doesn't get done and the defense makes you pay. Well, we're pushing that envelope on both sides of the ball now. Where my ultimate desire, I want a good team. I don't want to go out there on both sides of the ball. I don't want to go out there today and have the defense dominate the offense or vice versa. I want guys trading punches. And he just pretty much went on to say how, just the way this defensive scheme is set up, it relies on everyone, being in certain spots, and it forces the offense to play to a T. Like, you have to be on point. If one part of the offense isn't right, defense will make you pay. And again, he went on to say about particularly playing against predominantly zone coverage. He says the teams that are capable of playing good zone defense make you earn everything. And really, they force teams to execute and execute across the board. Again, he said, went on to say in man coverage, if one guy messes up in man coverage, you have a guy that's wide open. Not necessarily the case in zone coverage. But again, it requires everyone to be cohesive on defense. And by that effect, it requires everything on offense to be exactly on point. Because if not, you have defensive backs who are looking at the quarterback. They have eyes on the quarterback. They can react so much quickly and make you pay for a misstep. So again, iron sharpening iron. I mentioned that in the previous episode. The defense not only coming into shape, but also just the way it's built, making the offense better itself as well. So positive reports from the first day of mandatory minicamp. Again, the Dolphins have two more practices scheduled on Wednesday and Thursday. I'll be out there for both days, recapping all aspects of the sessions and reporting on the latest developments, whether that be Connor Williams' absence, lack of absence, as well as other standouts and reactions from player media availability. All right, well, that brings us to the end of another edition of the Dolphins in Depth podcast. Again, I want to thank you guys, as always, for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe to the Miami Herald YouTube page, like, share, comment, as well as subscribe to the Miami Herald. I'll be back next week to put a bow on mandatory minicamp, the offseason workout program, as well as maybe look ahead to what's next for the Dolphins. But until then, you guys take care. See you.